reestablish what Adam.
And what made the difference was that Jesus remained faithful to the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. And let me tell you, that would work real well in our lives in this season of the outpouring of God's glory. That's literally what He's called us to just be obedient in every realm of His life working in us. And now's the time for us to move away from our old traditions and very little faith that we've walked in. And it's time to move into a life of holiness and bold outreaching faith. We're going to have to change our manner, and I'll talk a little bit about this later on. But you know, we're going to have to start demonstrating faith, because we're not doing a very good job of it right now. I'll tell you that for sure. I'm talking about the whole church, not just this church, but the church worldwide is not demonstrating the faith that it should. Now, the season that we're living in is about to be, we're about to see an outpouring of God's glory. And this shouldn't be a mystery, because it's been prophesied in Scripture that it was going to happen, and it's happening. And we're about to see an acceleration of power come in this glory that God is pouring out. And this power of acceleration is found in the glory. And when the glory comes down into the realm of the natural, that's when we're going to see the great miracles and healings and signs and wonders and all of these things released, including the creative power of God. Did you know that God wants to work His creative power through you? He does. And how did God create in the beginning, and how does He still create? By His words. Amen. So there's some interesting things that are going to happen in the body of Christ as we begin to see what God is doing. Now, one of the first areas of responsibility as Christians for you and I is to cultivate an atmosphere of God's presence in our individual life. We need to be individual worshipers, okay, at home or in the car or wherever you can get an opportunity to worship. You know, it's glory. We're living in a time where there's so many things available to us where we can worship. I mean, we have CDs, we have MP3s, we have videos, everything, you know, where when we're by ourselves, we can either sit down and worship by ourselves or put on a DVD and worship with some church service someplace. We are blessed. And we need to be faithful in our worship. And also, all of this is accomplished, though, through our devotion, our prayer, our holiness, and our humility. But the second thing that we must learn is how to corporately usher in the glory of God through our high praise, our worship, and our thanksgiving. And we are seeing that happen. And what I mentioned this morning, that's just an example of what God is wanting to do. As we learn how to be faithful in the part of our responsibility, then God is always faithful to do what is required of Him. And then the third thing, in order for us to step into maturity, is that we must learn how to operate in and from the realm of God's glory. And that's going to be a little bit more difficult, because it's going to require you to step out in faith. And I've seen in the last 30 years of ministry, I've seen that's always an obstacle to Christians. They are hesitant to step out in faith. But let me tell you, we're going to have to do it. And this means receiving a revelation by faith through vision and imagination while in the glory, and then speaking and declaring the Word of God from the realm of this glory. That's our responsibility. God's going to do everything He can, but we're going to have to step in and do our part. Now, a beginning place of understanding is to learn the difference between the anointing and between the glory of God. And there is a distinct difference in the two. In the anointing, healings occur, and they're normally on an individual basis. What happens that, you know, through a gift of healing or the working of power, the person or the one ministering prays for someone and they're healed. And we've seen that happen many times right here in this church. Individuals have seen it happen as they have been praying over people outside of the church. And this one who's ministering is operating in a healing anointing, which covers him like a mantle. And he releases it to the people that he's praying over. But the glory cloud is different. And it's like a covering or a canopy that blankets a group of people. And under this canopy of glory, they all get touched at the same time. And I've seen this operate in conferences, and it's awesome to behold. And what I always liked at the end of what happened was they would bring people up for testimonies. And I mean, there would be tons of testimonies of how God touched them in healing or breaking them loose from bondage or whatever. And so this glory of God is something that's spectacular to be able to see it function in a group. And far too often it's always been in conferences that you see these things, but God is beginning to release it in our churches. Now, sometimes I call it a cloud, and I don't mean that it's a cumulus cloud or anything like that, but sometimes God's glory will manifest in a cloud-type thing, appearance, I guess you'd say, that kind of looks like smoke. But for the most part, when God's glory manifests, there's nothing except just the feeling, the sensing of the heaviness of God's presence. And when we experience this glory realm, we are going to experience something called timelessness. Timelessness. Now, there are keys to unlock the realm of God's glory. There's three of them. They're called vision, imagination, and faith. Vision, imagination, and faith. And without faith, we cannot hear God. Without faith, Scripture says, it's impossible to please God. Imagination is one of the primary characteristics of the creative side of God. And perhaps we've never thought about this, God's creative imagination. How many of you have an imagination? This is where you think out things, is that right? Okay, well, don't you think God did the same thing? He did. Amen. Imagination. Let's define imagination so we can understand it. Imagination is the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. Now, let me say that again. Imagination is the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. And it's also the ability of the mind to be creative or resourceful. Creative or resourceful. So where did you find that definition, Pastor? Is it in the Word? No, it's in Webster's Dictionary. Okay? Lots of words. But it's exactly what we're talking about. God imagined everything He created before He actually created it. And that's why it's important that we need to learn how to imagine things. You know, I'm talking about coming into a worship service, a praise service, you know, we're coming in and we're focusing on God, and we're going to exercise our faith. Well, let's begin to imagine the things that we want to see happen in this worship service, and then mix those with our faith, and let's see them created in the glory. Amen? Not difficult. Now, to see into the realm of the supernatural, we must be able to envision or imagine and perceive the realm of glory through faith. And when we do this, it allows us to become immediately acquainted with God and His ways. In other words, when you come in here together, corporately as the body of Christ, we want to begin to think like God thinks. We need to begin to think of the ways that He does things. And I believe, you know, that we're coming into a season where people are going to be packing into this building to receive healing. And it's going to be primarily in our worship service. Amen? And so we need to work on our part to make sure that we're ready for when it begins to happen. Now, I want to just show you an example of what I've been talking about. We worship God in every service. That in this church, we are worshipers. Amen? And let's take example of a Wednesday night. We come together in the body of Christ to worship. And the first thing we need to do when we walk into this room is to set our focus on God and His kingdom. That's one of the things that I've been telling you every Wednesday night for the past several weeks. We need to focus on God in His kingdom. Lay everything else aside and set our focus on Him. And then we begin to set our faith in place by seeing those things that are not as though they are. That's a definition of faith. It's in the Scripture. We set our faith in place by seeing those things that are not as though they are. And our faith reaches out to embrace God's presence in the realm of His glory. That's what we want. We want an awesome presence of God to come. Not because of His glory, but because He is the glory. Amen? We're not out here trying to take something away from God. We just want to experience more of God. A greater measure of God, the greatest measure that we can stand. That's what we want. And then we begin to worship with our whole hearts. Whole hearts. That means that we don't hold anything back when we're worshiping. That's what I was sensing in our praise this morning. I mean, people were just letting it rip, you know, letting it go. And that's what God enjoys. That's what God requires even. That's the way we praise Him. And as we worship Him with our whole hearts, we lay aside everything that's negative in our lives, whether it's a passive attitude or whether we, you know, had a conflict with depression or oppression over current situations that we're involved in, or you know, sometimes we get so focused on how tired we are that we don't even worship like we should. And all of these things need to be, I mean, like I said last Wednesday night, I think it was, you know, leave that stuff outside. If it's important to you, you can pick it up on your way out, but don't bring it in here, you know. Truth is, it's not all that important. It's just something that you're hanging on to because you don't know what to do with it. But we're here to create. We're here to imagine the glory and see it manifest in our midst as a church. And as the glory forms, we step into that glory, and we're actually stepping into the realm of all things are possible. We step into that realm of all things are possible. Now, we need to worship in the now, and minister to God in the new. Okay? We worship in the now, and we minister unto God in the new. And the way that we do that, minister to God, is a fresh expectation or a fresh faith emulating from from each one of us. Do you understand that? I mean, it's important that everybody that comes to worship begin to express their faith, because a corporate faith is powerful. If we can all be in unity together, in one accord together, there's absolutely nothing that we cannot see happen in this church. Okay? Now, this is going on, and it's going to take a while for us to actually learn how to walk in it, because we are creatures of habit, whether they be good habits or bad habits. And in regards to worship, a lot of times we have bad habits that we need to overcome. So we need to create some new pathways by our faith and be faithful every time we come together to worship, to pursue these new pathways and be in agreement with one another as we pursue these pathways. Do you understand what we're talking about? I mean, kind of get an idea of what God wants to do. And let me tell you, I've been one who has studied worship forever, as long as I can remember in the ministry. And it's really unsearchable. I mean, the more you dig into it, the more you find out about God's expectations in worship. And just think about it. You know, to me, perfect praise and worship is in heaven. And God created special beings for that perfect praise and worship. But at the same time, we are God's favorite creation. We are the ones that God created for praise and worship. Amen. And so we need to be doing ourselves what we can to learn what God expects of us and begin to walk in it and move in it so that we can be pleasing unto God. Remember, a while ago we were talking about without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, we need to be pleasing to God in everything that we do. Now, you know, I'm always looking for God's glory to manifest. And I've been expecting it in services for, seem like forever. But it's my faith and your faith that brings His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It's our believing together that it's going to happen. And we are the ones that have to access this by faith. Okay? Now, faith. I've preached on faith off and on through the years. And every time I preach on faith, I always see a spurt of faith begin to activate in your hearts, in your lives. But it doesn't last very long. And that's in total, it's contrary to the Word of God, what it teaches. We are to live by faith, and we're not doing it. I said that a while ago, but we're not doing it. And you see, faith is a higher law than the natural law. It's a higher law than the natural law. And by faith, we can even bypass space and time. By faith, we can step into the timeless realm that I spoke of a minute ago. Because faith is the door between the natural and the supernatural dimensions. That's what faith is all about. We standing here in the natural can access the supernatural by faith. And faith operates from the spirit of revelation. And where does the spirit of revelation come from? The spirit of God. Amen? And so faith is the language that moves the realm of glory. Can you see that? Faith is the language that moves the realm of glory. Now, when the glory appears by faith, we have the authority to decree now. Now. And the substance from the supernatural realm will manifest and it will materialize in the natural. I was pondering this verse, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, and I even went back and looked it up in the Greek text, because there was something puzzling to me about it. Let's read the verse, Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance." In the Amplified, it says, "the confirmation or the title deed of the things we hope for." The things we hope for. Now faith is. Now faith is. Now think about this a minute. Now faith is. It's right now. In other words, we're not by faith going to ask God to do something down the road. When we step out in faith, when we declare faith, we want to see it now, right now. And that's in the realm of God's creativity. That's in the realm of the way that God does things. You see, like healing, healing is not needed in heaven because there's no sickness. But healing in heaven would be instantaneous. It would be right now. Because God doesn't mess around. We mess around trying to walk under the anointing here on this earth. But when we can get a strong faith in things like healing, then we're going to see some awesome things begin to happen. So you see, faith is a higher law that exists out of time. And it operates from the law of higher truth that is not based on fact. It operates out of a higher truth that is not based on fact. Now let's look at this statement for a minute so I can help you understand it. Now, 1 Peter 2:24. Very familiar verse. It says, "Who his own self," talking about Jesus, "bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness." And then the writer throws this in, "by whose stripes you were healed." The same Jesus, by the stripes that he bore upon his back, you were healed. Now, what is the truth? By his stripes, you were healed. And it's important that we take into consideration that this is a passive statement. It's something that has already been accomplished. It's been fulfilled. It doesn't say that you are going to be healed. It says you were healed. And so that's the truth. And God's word is always the truth. But when we look at it in the natural, we see facts. And the facts is that you are sick. Notice I said you. I'm healed. Amen. So which is dominant, truth or fact? Truth. It better be truth. Because if not, you're going to be walking defeated. You're going to be walking in sickness and disease. Truth is from the higher realm of God's presence and promise. Our responsibility is to believe our faith that the truth that will triumph over the fact. It will triumph over human intellect, and it will triumph over human reasoning. You see, that's the reason so many of us stay sick, is because we try to reason these things out. We don't just trust God's word, "by his stripes you were healed." No, we try to figure it out. We try to reason things out. We try to use our human intellect, you know, because we're smarter than God. At least sometimes we think we're smarter than God. But you see, we need to put all of that under our feet and just simply trust God's word. "By his stripes, you were healed." So let's dig a little deeper into the understanding of faith. Do you understand that there is a realm of the spirit and a realm of the natural? And we say we believe that. We say that we understand that, but we don't live like we do. You see, we live in the physical world. We live in the natural world every day. And we understand this because we can use our five senses to recognize and prove that the physical world is real. How many of you believe the physical world is real? Yeah. If it's not real to you, then you're dead. Sorry. But it's a correct statement. It is very real to us because that's where we exist every day. But this physical world around us was created and birthed out of the spiritual realm. God brought forth the natural out of the supernatural. And here is where we have to move from the physical realm into the spiritual realm by our faith. That's why we need faith. That's why we're called to live by faith. And it's your spirit that receives revelation from the spirit realm. God will not speak into your intellect. He will speak into your spirit. Most of the time, we are more or have a greater tendency to listen to our intellect instead of our spirit man. But we need to wake up and start listening down here to what the Spirit is saying and quit listening to what we think is correct. Amen? Now, supernatural substance is constantly being released between these two realms, both the natural and the spiritual. And the reason we don't see more of the supernatural flowing that would be manifesting from heaven is because we aren't discerning what God is releasing. Again, we have to learn how to listen to God, where we are going to hear His voice. And if we have our spiritual senses open, then we will be able to see what is coming from this realm of glory. And then we can take what we see and decree it. Do you understand that? Let's give an example. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Let's take, for example, the word of knowledge. Where does that word of knowledge come from? From God. It comes out of the supernatural realm, and God speaks it into the natural realm, into your spirit. And when you hear it, then you decree it. And when you decree it, then that's when the power of that word will do whatever it's supposed to do. It may bring revelation to a person. It may encourage a person. It may convict a person. But all we did was simply hear from God. We spoke out loud. We decreed it. And we declared what God was saying. And it ministered into the heart of a human being or even several human beings. Now, this will frame it in time and it will manifest the natural. And the dilemma that people run into is that by the time we see into the realm of the glory and act on it, the window of opportunity has passed. So we have to get busy trying to bring forth the glory of God once again so that we can move again in what God is saying and what God is doing. And as we worship, that's what we are doing. We are creating the glory of God in a place like this room. And as we praise God, the atmosphere will thicken and become spiritually heavy. And this heaviness is called the kabod in Hebrew. The kabod is called the heaviness of God's presence. And that's where we want to function. That's where we need to operate. Because it's in this spiritual climate that we can speak into the glory and see a release of miracles. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the realm of church. It can be in the realm of individual ministry. You see, we need to walk in a realm of praise and worship in our hearts. We need to walk in a realm of seeing into the supernatural. Now, there are both physical and spiritual requirements for releasing the miraculous. And if we don't speak out something that we hear from God that needs to be spoken, then we're not going to see anything happen. If the glory of God is not present, then nothing is going to happen. But we need the glory present, and we need to speak into it. And it's time for us to switch gears and begin to operate in the spiritual understanding and revelation that comes from God. We've tried long enough, you know, through the years in trying to make things function in the natural, and it won't work. So we need to change our way of doing things. Now, in the natural world, we learn by gathering information by our five senses. Our five senses. What are they? Anybody? Okay. Smelling. Taste, there you go. And smell. Sight, seeing, hearing. Yeah, that was the other one. I got that. Amen. They're seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling. These are natural. And the supernatural world has the same five senses, but they operate out of the spirit man and not the natural. And in order to function in these five senses in the spirit realm, you have to practice them. They don't just come naturally. You have to practice them. And these have to be learned and perfected by our using them. In the spirit realm, we gain revelation with our spiritual senses. Now, when we talk about hearing God, hearing God, hearing God, that's a spiritual sense. We've learned how to listen, and we've learned how to hear God. Seeing something in the realm of the supernatural. Most Christians have never experienced that. But you can if you learn how to practice these things and how to trust God in showing you things. I remember the servant, Gehazi, him and Elijah, I think it was, were surrounded by the enemy. And Elijah was just, you know, he was at peace. He knew that the victory was in God. But this poor servant, he was running himself crazy because he thought, man, we're fixing to get totally killed here. And so Elijah asked God to open his senses, the seeing sense, so that he could see. And he did. He saw into the spirit realm and saw the multiplied thousands of angels that were also there that were going to be their protection against this natural enemy. And this is why it's important that we learn how to function in our spiritual senses, because they can give us encouragement. In fact, they can even build our faith as we look into the spirit realm and see these things that are maybe coming or that we need to deal with. And the sad truth about it is there is a lot in the demonic realm where these people have already learned how to do that. But they're using it for evil purposes and not for good. And here we are, Christians, supposed to be doing and working in the kingdom of God here on this earth, and we don't even know how to function in it. But it's time that we need to learn how to do that. You see, revelation is nothing more than the revealed mechanics of God. And we can't function unless we know the mechanics of God, the supernatural mechanics of God, because it's these mechanics that enable us to think and operate in the supernatural dimension. Now, instead of always looking for logical answers to natural problems, why don't we start trusting God, exercising our faith, and asking God to show us, what is it that I need to do to resolve this issue? And as we do, we're going to begin to climb higher and higher in the glory and see even greater manifestations of the miraculous. Now, this is an hour where the Lord is manifesting His glory upon the earth. We've been talking about this for a long time. And He's calling us to a place of radical faith. Radical faith. That's a faith that releases the miraculous. Now, I use the word radical, and most Christians don't like that word. Radical. You see, we have to get away from being who we are. And most Christians today are wishy-washy, wimpy in their ways of doing things. And we need to leave that. We need to depart from that and become radical like Jesus was. I mean, how far do you think Jesus would have gone if He acted like we act? I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. We'll walk on water. Well, but Father, let's hold on here a minute. I don't remember doing that when I was in heaven, you know. And I that water's awful deep. I don't even know if I can swim. But no, Jesus didn't function that way. Jesus had a radical faith. And this is the deception that we've lived in our whole lives when we act in a wimpy, weak way. You know, all you have to do is look around you. We are losing the war. We're losing the war. We're losing the war in our nation, in our churches, in our schools, and we're even losing the war in the lives of our young people and our children. And being wimpy and weak is absolutely getting us nowhere. Nowhere. And I really don't even think we can relate being weak as a characteristic of a true Christian. If I understand the Bible correctly, it says that as a Christian, we are to be overcomers in this world, not weak, wimpy people. Amen? And so we need to rise up and start acting like we're supposed to act. And God is pouring out on the church an anointing. And it's the same anointing that was on Jesus and the same anointing that was upon Moses and Elijah. And God is opening our eyes. He's opening our eyes so we can see. And we need to see Him as Creator God. Creator God. He is the God of creation. But when we can fully see that He is Creator God, then He wants us to see ourselves that we are in the likeness of Him. He wants us to see that we too can create like the Father did. And you say, well, that's impossible, Pastor. No, it's not. Look in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Do you know much about the ministry of Moses? The Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as God in Pharaoh. Or correction, to Pharaoh. I make you as God to Pharaoh. What did that mean? it meant that Moses was going to do things that caused Pharaoh to look at Moses like he looked at God. And the things that Moses did were in the realm of being creative. How many of you have ever cast a staff down on the floor and it become a snake? Is that creative? Well, it would be to me. But you see, we are made in the likeness of God, and if God is a creator, then we are creators. And yet we don't think we can do that because we've been deceived. We're wishy-washy, wimpy people. We can't do nothing. We can't even overcome. And it's time to wake up and start being who we are. And the only way that we can be who we are is to know who we are. And that's what God was doing to Moses here. He was bringing him to an understanding. Look, this is who you really are. And you think this is rough. You don't even know what lies ahead of you, because I'm going to cause you to part the Red Sea. Amen? Anybody done that lately? Daniel went to South Potter. Did you try to part the Gulf out there? Tried. Amen. Trying, you know, we need to step out here and not worry about what other people think about us. We need to step out here. Amen. Amen. So you see, God wants you to grasp the reality for miracles that can flow through your life. You can do it. You can do it. And we need to understand the difference between the healings and creative miracles. We need to discover the power that's contained in the spoken word, which, by the way, we're going to talk about next Sunday. And we need to receive keys for cultivating faith for the supernatural. I said next Sunday. Actually, it's two Sundays from now. But anyway, we need to continue to learn. You and I have not arrived yet. In fact, based on the Word of God, we're still pretty ignorant when it comes to God's ways. And God doesn't want us to be that way. I mean, He said His ways are not our ways, and they're not. But when we're born again, I mean, we move into a different realm. We're children of the Most High God. We're brothers with Christ. Sisters with Christ. And we can operate in the same realm that He did. And we need to get over that little hump or that big mountain, whichever it is in your life, and get busy doing what we've been created to do. So let's continue to learn over the next few weeks as we put into practice some of these things that God is teaching us. And it's time to get out here and start doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay.